The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in DC. It's the first show of the year, and my returning guest is Nick Knutson. He's the executive director of Demcast USA, which is a digital movement to combat the prolific disinformation that's spreading online. They ask everyday social media users to share the truth and calls to action in their own social media feeds. We'll be talking about what the average voter can do to rescue democracy. We're also going to be talking about the SoCal fires and other current events. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Nick Knutson. Welcome back to the show, Nick.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I guess Happy New Year. I don't know. I don't even know how to deal with what's going on. I don't know if you know how to deal with what's going on. This is my first show of the new year, and I did want to talk to you because you're with Demcast. And I told everybody in the opening of this that it's a digital movement to combat the prolific disinformation that's spreading online. And Demcast asks everyday social media users to share the truth and calls to action in their own social media feeds. So we're going to get to that in a minute. But before we do, both of us have new podcasts coming out. So let's hear about yours.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. Really excited to start a new podcast with two of my best friends in the world, Jim and Tiffany Drastic of 11 Film.
Cool.
Our podcast is called The Dangerous Ones. Our tagline is News, Culture, Danger. And we want it to be a place where people can go during a Trump 2.0 presidency and not feel like the world is melting around them. Mm-hmm. It's going to be funny. It's going to be inviting. We are going to cover the news, but it's not going to all be news. We're going to bash our billionaire overlords over the head on a weekly basis. And we're just going to have a lot of fun. So I hope everybody will go to YouTube and subscribe, The Dangerous Ones, and across all the social platforms too.
And that's coming out when, on the 21st?
Yeah, we're going to actually film the first episode on an inauguration day.
Wow.
And it'll come out the next day.
Wow. That sounds great. And I think that's extremely important. And it doesn't exactly tie to what I'm doing, but those who have listened to my show for a while kind of already know about this, but just in case, for the last 5 years, I've been studying intentional manifestation. Now, before everybody starts rolling their eyes, I just want to say that I'm going to do a podcast on intentional manifestation called The Seeker. I'm not going to talk about it in the way that I've seen others talk about it. I'm not a coach. I'm not going to tell anybody, oh, here's how to manifest a text message or a car or something like that. I'm focusing more on the state of being, and it kind of, you know, this election is part of the reason I've decided to do this, because it's extremely difficult to deal with. I mean, we're already exhausted And now we have to start this new time in our lives that it just, it seems like it's impossible. And so I want to be able to, you know, I want to be a helper. I want to be able to help people in this really difficult time manage their own lives. So I'll just be really quick and say that most of the time, I think a lot of people kind of go on default where, like, if you're on a ship, right, you got a chair on the ship and you're sitting in this chair, and when everything's running smooth, it's great. But then there's choppy waters and it's like, oh no, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to the boat? And you're just kind of leaving it up to the world. And I think as an intentional manifester, it's like you're steering the ship. There's still going to be choppy waters. Not everything is going to be perfect. You can't change the water, but as the person steering the ship, you can kind of change how you're perceiving things and how you react to things. So that's my hope. I want to be able to go over what I've learned, and I'm going to tie it with what I've heard from people who have near-death experiences. And so it's just going to be a completely different kind of show. It's not going to be political at all, but it will be for those who want to kind of just take control of their own mind, which is what I'm doing right now. So anyway, that's enough about me and my show. For all of you listening, you know, here's a couple of different ways to go about this new year and this unfortunate turn of events. So, okay, my first question is not really a question, but I will ask you to please just, I know you've been on the show before and you've talked a lot about Demcast, and I'm sure since you've been on, there have been some changes and it's grown and all of that. So just tell us about Demcast and what it's all about.
Well, first of all, that podcast sounds amazing. I can't wait
thank
to
you.
Listen. We all need that. So Demcast, we're a 501c4 nonprofit organization. We founded in 2019, before the 2020 election. Going strong. We're basically a digital volunteer organization. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, if you're running a campaign and you want to get word out about a candidate or a cause, you know, you go and you knock doors and you do text banking and phone banking, that kind of thing. This is like digital door knocking.
Okay.
You know, so what Demcast does is we curate content and we curate messaging guidance from people who are testing messaging, political messaging, and we package all that information to make it easily shareable in everybody's social media feeds. The MAGA movement has a giant troll army of just regular people who are online 24/7, 365, spreading Trump and Musk and, you know, Tucker Carlson's propaganda for them. And we need to be organized in a similar way to counter that. And so that's what Demcast strives to do. And we have lots of different ways that people can engage. We have a Substack that people can subscribe to called The Digital Drumbeat, where you can get information about social media storms. We have you know, groups on an app called Reach, where people can have some community and talk about sort of strategic messaging. And we have all kinds of content that people can share. So if folks are interested in joining us, which we would love, we're always trying to grow our team. You can go to demcast.com/team to sign up.
Cool. And I have put the link to Demcast in the show notes. So everybody, you know, I definitely, it's a great platform. It's a great cause, everything that you're doing. And it's so important because in this particular administration, and I don't even like to call it administration, it's so corrupt and so horrible. We're in a new kind of paradigm. Things have shifted, and it is my opinion that the old way of doing things is just not good enough. And it's not to say, you know, I mean, I've taken some shit from people because when this election first happened, I was so angry and I was so upset. And it's part of the reason I'm doing this new podcast, because I can't deal and I can't do what I've been doing in the way that I've been doing it. I can't deal with it in the same way. I don't think about it in the same way. And so while I do understand it's extremely important to keep your humor and to mock the Nazis and all of that, I think, you know, what so many people have gotten very comfortable is on social media, just doing the bare minimum. And I think it's up to us now to kind of step it up a little. And I know everyone's exhausted, and I know people can't believe what happened, and we feel gut punched and all of it. I mean, I feel it. But I think we have to step up our game, because from what I understand, when, you know, it's like early on in a fascist kind of takeover is the time to resist, because once it really truly takes hold, it becomes more increasingly difficult. It's not to say that America could never see a full-blown democracy again, because right now we don't have that full-blown democracy. We do have blue states, and we do have some of the Constitution that's being upheld, but we're watching it all kind of fall apart. If we don't do anything extra now, if we rely on what we've done in the past and make our jokes and put up our memes, which, I mean, I put up memes, so I'm not criticizing people who do it. I'm just saying it's not enough. We have to get a whole, you know, we have to basically muscle up on this and do things, actually do things. So that's why I'm having you on, because I think it's extremely important to be talking to people who are offering more than what people are used to doing. So, you know, I highly recommend going over to Demcast and joining in any way you can, because a lot of it can be from the comfort of your own home. And while you're putting up that meme, you can have an action attached to it. So I do want to go over, I know there's some good news. In Virginia, Virginia Democrats held on to their narrow majorities in the state legislature. So I was hearing, you know, this is an extremely important election. The fact that Democrats held on is a big deal. So I just wanted to hear what you have to think about Virginia and this whole thing.
It is really good news. And we have lots of Demcasters from Virginia, and they're very, very relieved and proud of the work that they did on the ground to make sure that those wins came through. Yeah, both the Assembly, the House there in Virginia, and the State Senate were blew by one seat. And so they needed to hang on to these two special election seats to make sure that they held their check on Governor Youngkin. If those seats had flipped, then that would have been trouble for the state, and the Youngkin / Trump agenda could have been really, really pushed this year. So that was really important. And, you know, it is a bit of a bellwether. I think these are seats in Loudoun County, Virginia, that should be blue. But as we saw across the country in November, you know, there was lots of movement in swing states and non-swing states toward Trump, and including in urban areas and suburban areas. So you know, it is great that these seats were held. It's a good sign. It's a nice little jolt of energy coming into the, you know, inauguration time.
Well, and I also want to remind people that, you know, people tend to think, okay, we've got the midterms and we've got the general, but what they often miss is local elections and special elections that happen every single year. And they're extremely important, because Republicans have been very much on this, right? They vote in local elections, school boards, city councils. They show up. They do their thing. Democrats usually don't. And so I just want to reiterate to everybody, it's not just about the midterms. It's not just about general elections. You know, these smaller elections are so important, because so many times they're going to dictate what's legal in any particular state, like abortion. Right now, I live in a blue state. Abortion is legal. You go to a red state, it's not legal. So that's why it's so important to make sure you understand in your state every single special election that is held, because they're all making a difference. And for those of you, and I get there's this thing out there, you know, there's a lot of people who don't believe the results of this election. And I'm not even going to weigh in on this, because I feel like if there was cheating, it was done in a way that right now we don't know. And it's not, I don't think it's going to ever be uncovered. So it's not something that's going to be proven, at least not that I know. Maybe it will, and it, you know, maybe I'm being ignorant here and it'll come out, but during a Trump administration, I just don't trust that it will. But what I do know is all the elections are individually held and run by states. So it is difficult to, you know, to cheat. There's the obvious cheating, which is oppression and suppression and racism and all of that, and kicking black people and people of color off the rolls in whatever the way they can, or making it harder to vote. There's all that. That's going on, and we could see that. But then whatever there might be behind the scenes that we can't see and we don't for sure know about, don't just write it off and say, oh, they cheat. All elections are, you know, that's what they want. They want you to feel like your vote doesn't matter. And this Virginia election shows that your vote still matters, because it is up to the individual states. So I just had to throw that out there.
Absolutely. It's really important to say out loud. Thanks for saying that. Yep.
And I think we just have to keep banging everybody on this, because I know people, you know, people just don't even realize that we have elections every single year. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back after this message. Hey, this is Kimberly, the host of the show you're listening to right now. If you like what you're hearing, please visit patreon.com/startmeup. You can take a look at all the different tiers and support the show by becoming a patron. Thank you so much in advance. And we're back. I want to switch the subject now, and this is not my favorite thing, but I just want to see, I don't know, I want to see what you think about it. So we're seeing so many people, corporations, whatever, kiss the ring, right? So first, you know, I just read today that Google's donating $1 million to the inaugural fund. We saw big donations from Zuckerberg and Bezos. We saw ABC, you know, Trump sued ABC, and they just capitulated and gave him money for the inauguration. So it's very difficult to watch this happen. You're watching it happen too. You're feeling how difficult it is. So I just wanted to ask you, like, I know your new podcast is kind of going to cover stuff like this. Yeah. How do we win? And, you know, you said you're going to go after these big money people. How do we win against this? How do we feel like we have any control when we're seeing these big money people just falling down for Donald?
It is so disappointing and so not surprising.
Yeah.
that this is happening. Look, yeah, whatever you want to call the incoming administration, it's more and more clear that we are living in a burgeoning oligarchy.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans are really good at helping people feel like the reason that they're upset about their life and the way that their life is going is because of immigrants or mm-hmm. because of trans people. That, you know, they sort of take people's anger and frustration with ultimately what is their economic position in life and turn that anger against the people who are not actually responsible for that situation.
Right.
The people who are responsible for the fact that we can't afford rent and college is out of reach because it's too expensive and food is too expensive. You know, it's the trickle-down economics of Reagan that has sort of held our political universe hostage for my entire lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And workers have seen their share of wealth and their buying power in the economy decrease and decrease and decrease. And what we need to do over the next 4 years and really over the next 20 years is wake workers up in this country to what is actually happening and really shine a spotlight on the billionaire class and the massive corporations that are rigging the system and prices and, the entire economy against the rest of us.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're going to talk a lot about this on our podcast and try and focus it less in terms of blue versus red
mm-hmm.
and instead the billionaires and corporations versus everybody else.
Yeah, because it's unfortunate that people who identify as Republican or MAGA or whatever are buying into this bullshit that's hurting them. I mean, we've seen it happen. Right. I know it was Pelosi's daughter. I don't know that it was Christine. I can't remember which daughter did the documentary where she went into mm-hmm. red states and talked to people mm-hmm. who, you know, didn't recognize that they were taking government money and then criticizing government money as handouts. And it's like, okay, they need to understand what's going on. And I keep saying that the Republicans have defunded education for decades and that money never gets replaced. And education
has an intentional strategy.
Exactly. And it's been, you know, as a result, people don't understand civics. People don't understand what's going on. I mean, there's all these other things that weigh into, I mean, there's, you know, everybody's on their computer or looking at their phone all day. Maybe, you know, you've got the whole argument where you've got families that are just so busy they can't be really bothered to follow what's happening. But then they hear certain things, they hear headlines, they hear people, their neighbors, their family, whoever, and then they just take on, oh yeah, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's trans people ruining my life. And yeah, I think it's extremely important. I'm glad Demcast is doing this. It's extremely important to get to those people. I mean, look, there's going to be a certain group of right-wingers who vote red, who don't want to hear the truth, no matter what it is. They just want to be angry. But then there's this other group of people that once they see, I mean, I know a lot of them are going to feel like, or they're going to be told by Fox News or the, you know, the right-wing disinformation, you know, network. the whole thing is like a big network to me. Telling them that it's the Democrats' fault, but we've got Republicans in charge now. So if Republicans are in charge and they're hurting, and like, let's say the tariff thing happens and, you know, it's an extra $4,000 to $6,000 a year, whatever it is, and they're angry, they're going to be angry at Democrats because Fox News is telling them to be angry at Democrats. And it's up to us because it's certainly not going to happen on mainstream media. It's not going to happen
corporate
on
corporate media. Not going
to
help.
No. Corporate, cable, all of it. Not going to help. They are going to play right into this and they're going to talk about it, sane-wash it and all of that. So it is. It's up to us. And, you know, I mean, it's a responsibility that all voters have to kind of, especially the ones who understand what's going on, figure out how to do this. And I think, let me ask you this. I'm seeing and hearing chatter out there. I mean, aside from your podcast and you're going to be doing something, there is chatter about maybe getting some kind of new way of getting the news out there. And there's all this talk about independent news. How confident are you that we're going to be, you know, it's like they say, you know, trying to herd liberals or progressive is like, or it's like herding cats or whatever. How confident are you that we're going to be able to create a new way of consuming truthful news in where we are right now?
How confident am I? Well, the freedom of all Americans may depend on it.
Right.
I'm going to choose to be very confident that we'll get this done. I believe that people on our side, the pro-democracy side, will step up, and hopefully donors, our billionaires, will help to fund, you know, a lot of this sort of independent journalism and new media. Whether or not people will consume it in the type of volume that will be necessary to overcome all of the massive amounts of disinformation and the social platforms that are algorithmically favoring MAGA content, you know, that's the hard part. We'll have to see how it plays out, but like we've just got to try as a movement as hard as we can.
Yes, we do. We have to try. So, you know, I want to talk to you about something because you mentioned how you're going to go after the billionaires, and we're all very angry. I mean, we can all see what's been going on, and people who are extremely wealthy are basically taking and buying our democracy. And if they win in the bigger picture, they've won already some of it, but if they win everything in the bigger picture, this will be kind of like a modern day Russia. It'll be the haves and the have-nots. and it will be much harder for everyday Americans just to, you know, live comfortably. So I want to ask you, because of this, there's this fine line situation going on. So there's like something that I'm seeing, and I'm not the only one seeing, and I've seen other people commenting on that, is like this ugliness on the part of some, but not all. I want to be very clear. I'm not blaming everybody for this, but there are some liberal progressives, people who identify, you know, as blue, who are celebrating people like Luigi Mangione, who is basically a vigilante murderer. Now, I'm going to say, of course, the fact that this murder happened, and everybody's talking about healthcare, I mean, it kind of has died down a little bit for obvious reasons. We've got a fire going on, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, Trump is coming in. All this stuff is happening. And so, we, you know, our attention is kind of drawn away. Although I think in the bigger picture, that murder did bring a bigger discussion into the conversation in a way that it hasn't been. So there's that. And then there's also people who are saying things like, oh, well, the people who live in Malibu and the Pacific Palisades who have lost everything, they're going to be okay because they can afford to rebuild. Or James Woods lost his house. And I can't stand James Woods, but I'm never going to celebrate anybody losing their home. I don't care who they are. I don't think this is productive. I think this is the right-wing machine doing exactly what it wants to do, because it is affecting liberals and it is causing, you know, like a division. Because if we wind up becoming the very people who were yelling and screaming at, I mean, what's the difference? So I just wanted to know, like, what do we, how do we handle that? I mean, do you think it's just a matter of calling it out on social media? Do you think shaming these people who are identifying as liberal and yeah, some of them are going to be trolls, but not all of them, because I've seen people I know. So I don't want to hear, I don't see that. I'm online all day. I see it. Other people have seen it. So, I mean, how do you think is we best handle that?
Well, first of all, I don't think that, I feel this way about talking about MAGA supporters as well. Mm-hmm. Shaming people for their views is not a good strategy. The Luigi stuff is what has been very disheartening for me. Vigilante justice is a very, very dark road.
Yes.
And I think making that statement over and over and over again, like, and saying, okay, if we give a green light to him because we agree with his cause or whatever, ultimately, then it's a slippery slope. What if somebody doesn't like, you know, baseball, and they start, then they go after the baseball commissioner. Right. I mean, it's just such a random slippery slope of, like, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse hate. And we can't do that in this country. That's not what America is. And we just have to make that point over and over again, and hopefully people will listen and sort of pull back.
Yeah, and I would like to reiterate that it's not about where I'm coming from. It's not about shaming, but it's just recognizing this is exactly what the right wing wants. It wants us hating each other. And, you know, I mean, when you take a look at money, you know, and people who are wealthy, there is this common belief that, and we've heard it all, you know, money is the root to all evil, money corrupts. And so it's basically, if someone has money now, that they're evil. We equate it with evil. And it just because somebody has money doesn't mean they're evil. I mean, we've seen what Melinda Gates has done. So, I personally don't begrudge someone who is incredibly wealthy. I mean, unless they've been corrupt about it, unless they've hurt people and done horrible things and illegal things to acquire that money.
Or, you know, buy a presidency or something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I can understand being angry at that, but, you know, wealth in and of itself isn't going to, the person, whether they have the money or not, is corrupt. Now, the money can facilitate their corruption. It's a tool that they can use. But, you know, I just think it's a mistake to look at every single person who has money. And so some, you know, if you're going to say, oh, if you live in the Palisades or whatever, you could easily rebuild. I mean, the high school burnt down. This is so incredibly devastating on so many levels. You know, while it may be easier for those people to go rebuild their life than somebody who was just living month to month in an apartment, that doesn't mean they deserve scorn. That doesn't mean they deserve our hatred. And again, it's playing into the GOP right-wing playbook to divide us all and to make us hate each other. And it's much easier for them to control things. So,
absolutely. And yeah. And there are plenty of reasons to hate what healthcare companies and insurance companies and big pharma companies do to us as humans. In the name of profit, killing people is not the way to address that situation. Like, we need to organize and communicate as regular folks who are being harmed by these mega corporations, and we just need to band together. We can't be a mob.
Agree 100%. So you're in the Pacific Northwest, correct?
I am. Yeah.
Are you experiencing anything from the fires at this point? Like, can you smell it or anything?
No.
Well, that's good.
No,
that's good.
The wind is, looks like the wind is going clear, like sort of clear out to the Pacific. So,
boy, this has just been absolutely devastating. I mean, I grew up in Southern California. I moved out there in 1977. I remember there was the Mandeville Canyon fire. So this was, I don't know, it was probably 77. I don't know if it was 78 or 77. And so, you know, I was 9, 10 years old and I could see the smoke. I lived in Brentwood, right? So I saw the smoke and this was probably around late September. And I called my mom at work and I was freaking out and she's like, you're probably going to be okay. Don't worry about it. So just a little funny side story. There was this woman upstairs, you know, I was a latchkey kid and this woman upstairs told me, oh, well, you should get a bucket of water and have it ready. So I got a bucket of water and I put it in the living room and then I got bored and ran outside and got on my bike and played and whatever. And my mom came home and she just found this bucket of water and she figured, oh, well, I guess Kimberly gave up on saving our home. So, but the whole thing here is when I was that age in 1977, fire season was pretty much at the very beginning of autumn, right? It was hot, it was dry, and, you know, it went into October, sometime in September, went into October. By November, we were pretty much out of it. So now we're looking at fire season is almost year round, and it's just unheard of that this would happen at the beginning of January. And what's really frightening is I used to live in northern Glendale, and I looked at the evacuation maps, and the street that I used to live on was like three streets away from where it was mandatory. So I can't, and I was there in 2009, and at the time, right before I left Southern California and moved to Northern California, I was dealing with, it was like August, September, it was called the Station Fire. I think it was the Station Fire, and it was, at that time, the biggest fire in California's history, and it was happening right outside of my window. I was also not, I was very close to mandatory evacuations, but I was still able to stay in my home, and eventually they contained it, which at that point, no houses burned down, which was wonderful, but it was huge and scary. Then I moved to Northern California, and in 2017, my boyfriend and I were, we weren't in it, but we were in it. It was the, I don't remember the name of the fire, but it was a firestorm. And so those winds took the sparks from, I think it was like a fallen electrical line or something like that. And it, you know, I mean, it jumped the freeway and whole neighborhoods in the flats. I mean, it looks like Pacific Palisades. There was this one called Coffee Park. All the houses were just gone. Yeah, it looked like Armageddon destruction. Just insane.
Up here in Oregon too. Yeah. My ex-wife, parents' house on the Mackenzie River burned down.
Oh my God!
The Labor Day weekend of 2020. It's just. I moved up here in 2004 from California, so I totally understand the fire seasons that you're talking about, and it is so much worse now.
Yeah, so much.
It's insane.
And I just to I just want to put it out there to everybody. I mean, I have so many friends living out there. I you know, a girlfriend of mine, I'm pretty sure she was mandatory. It was a mandatory evacuation where she lives. I know she's currently in Burbank at her sister's house, so I don't know. I have another friend who lives in the hills of Eagle Rock, and I'm, you know, so concerned for him, and I'm just putting out my, you know, love, and I don't know what to do. I can only, mean, it's just, it's terrifying. It's devastating. And looking, I mean, I can't believe that Pacific Palisades High School is just gone.
Gone.
And I mean, it's
insane.
Ugh, it's so awful.
Yeah.
So
my heart goes out too.
Yeah. It's just really, it's really scary. So a couple, a couple more things though, I do want to ask you about. So there's some high profile influencers who are kind of taking on, you know, kind of like you, taking on this idea like, hey, there's stuff we can do, and democracy is maybe hanging by a thread, and it's dead in some of the states, but it's not dead all over the country. I and I'm hearing, you know, there's like hope, right? So we're seeing the GOP in disarray to a degree. I mean, they got it together to get Mike Johnson as a speaker. I don't know what kind of deals were made, but they got it together to get him pretty quickly. That happened. So, you know, there's the whole thing of Musk is irritating Donald Trump, or he's going to irritate him. And how do you see this playing out as far as at least short term? Because obviously we don't know exactly what's going to go down. But, you know, Rachel Maddow in his first term had that revolving door of people in his administration, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. And it was so big that she had to bring in a new graphic because so many people would come in, and then Trump would hate them, and they would be gone. So like, do you see more of a repeat of the first? Do you think this is going to be a lot worse? And then how do you feel that, do you think that the GOP, at least the MAGA sector of this, is going to remain intact, or do you think, see them splintering? Like the Broligarchs, like the old, like old MAGA versus new MAGA, which is Broligarch MAGA.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think there is a reason to hope that, just like in the first Trump term, incompetence wins the day. Uh-huh. And he did all kinds of terrible stuff, 100%.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as bad as it could have been if it had been a functional organization in the White House. So there's reason to believe that, and we should all hope that that could be the case, and that, that like you said, there'd be a revolving door. They're never quite able to sort of get the machine put together in a way that it could be its most effective. On the flip side, there have been people, you know, like these folks from the Heritage Foundation who've been sitting behind the scenes for 4 years drawing up plans for destroying America. And a lot of those people are, despite being evil, are pretty smart and competent individuals. And to the extent that those smart and competent individuals are involved in actually implementing this agenda, it could be really, really scary. So what we can do as citizens is watch. I think it's going to be incumbent on all of us to not freak out about absolutely everything that happens. Part of their strategy is going to be
shock and awe.
To get us riled up about some issues that maybe aren't as important as the massive issues like abolishing the Department of Education or deporting millions and millions of people, or you know, and so I think it's just going to be really important for us to keep our eye on the ball and not freak out every time Trump says something evil or stupid,
which will be daily.
Which will be daily, and it's intentional because they want us watching that hand while the other hand is doing the really, really evil stuff. So,
well, and that brings me to the second of the last thing that I want to talk to you about is, I think you're absolutely right. But I also think that during the first administration, all we heard was everything was a distraction. And I think there are distractions. And I think that what you said is 100% right. But on the other hand, I think that it is also important for us not to write. I see certain people out there, I guess they want to call everything a distraction because it's too much for them to deal with. I would assume that's part of it. We have never dealt with this before. I mean, we had a little taste of it when, from 2017 until 2020, or until 2021, I should say. But still, we had a taste of it, and it's. I think that America is not as strong as it was at that time.
Yeah.
So it will be more devastating this time, and there's going to be all kinds of things that happen that are going to be horrible. But I think there's going to be a fine line that we have to walk where it's like, we can't write every single thing off as a distraction. But at the same time, we do, like you said, we can't go crazy over everything he says because he's going to say a lot of things. I'm just going to bring up the whole Greenland and Panama. Here's what I have to say about that. Obviously, I think that if he's at all serious about that, the thing that scares me, and I know that this is likely a distraction, but on November 11th, the Russian news agency put out this, it was somebody who works, for Putin, who basically said, all right, well, we helped with the election, and now it's Donald Trump's turn to do the responsible thing, and live up to, his debts or whatever. I don't know how they said it, but it was basically saying, we helped you, now you got to help us. It was a warning to him. So, there's this whole thing about, Greenland has minerals and gas. And, of course, Putin would be so happy if America did something ridiculous, like try to take Panama or try to take Greenland. So how much of this do we take seriously, and how much do we just wait to see what happens before we react? Do we just immediately call it a distraction?
I think in the moment, coming out against terrible ideas is fine. We shouldn't be outwardly dismissive of things, particularly things that look like they might be, marching orders from Russia. Because there's every reason to believe that the Putin agenda is the Trump agenda. But I do think we need to sit back and let's see what actually happens. He's going to say he's going to do a lot of outrageous stuff. And some of it they'll actually try to do. And I think it's when it moves from rhetoric to action, is when we really need to sort of get ready to mobilize around disrupting or resisting what's happening.
Oh my God! All right, so this is the last question I have for you. What do we have to be hopeful about?
To be hopeful about.
That's a loaded question.
this Virginia election, think, is a hopeful thing. The other thing that I keep coming back to is when Trump got elected, I was working as a workforce development professional in Portland, Oregon, and I was tangentially, I followed politics, but I wasn't involved in politics outside of voting, I stepped up and formed an organization to spread pro-democracy messaging online. Other people did other things. We all got together and got organized, and that took a while to figure out how to do. So I guess one thing to be hopeful about is just muscle memory. Like, we have resisted a Trump administration. Successfully, to the extent that Joe Biden was elected in 2020. And we can do it again if we work together, if we stay positive, if we stay resolute, and if we take action when necessary.
All right. Well, I'm just going to go on that because, you know, this is my reaction to this election. This last election was I was devastated.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
honestly didn't even know if I was going to be able to do a show like this. I know that moving forward, my show, I will be talking to people like you, people who have, you know, solid things that people can do to either help create the change that we need or the action, you know, go and do things, or people who can talk about how to stay sane. But I know that I'm not going to go over the news of the day the way that I used to, because I need to maintain my sanity. And I, as I said earlier, it's like, I just, you know, I don't even know my place, because I feel like what I've done, not that I expected this podcast or me or whatever was going to get Kamala Harris elected. I just thought that we were all going to do this, and then it didn't happen. And I, you know, whether it's because there was cheating, and I, you know, I'm always just going to say they always cheat. Sometimes they're successful, sometimes they're not, but they always at least try to cheat. So regardless of where you are in this, you know, listeners, as far as how this election went down, I do think that there is a very small chance that we can save what's left of our democracy, but it's going to require so much. And I just don't know where that role is for me talking about, you know, the orange menace every single day. I just can't do it. So
yeah, and I think that just to piggyback on that, it's important for us to remember that America voted for this.
Yeah.
It was an intentional situation.
Yeah.
Millions and millions and millions of people voted for this agenda, so. There are going to be some things where we're going to have to like call our Congress people and let our thoughts be known about things that are happening in Washington. But some of this we're just going to have to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And so I totally agree with you that like staying informed but not obsessively informed is going to be really important for all of us. And just like. Keep connected with people who you trust from in the information scape, who can tell you when, okay, guys, now is the time that we need to like really do something.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And just be ready to, you know, put those marching boots back on, or, you know, proverbial marching boots back on. At any moment. But yeah, self-care is going to be super important.
And that's kind of what I'm going to be doing. And I know that this whole idea of intentional manifesting, I think a lot of people have probably, it's just like psychics, right? You hear the term psychic and you're like, oh yeah, it's a bunch of bullshit. But every once in a while, you know, there are things happen in our lives that we can't always explain. And that's the whole reason why I've been interested in all of this in the first place. And my goal here is to help people cope. I'm using the intentional manifesting to help me cope through all of this. And I've actually had success. I think like for me, the turning point was Thanksgiving Day. So it's kind of a combination, like since Thanksgiving Day, I've had ups and downs, but I've basically taken control of what I'm thinking in my head. And by doing that, I've been able to maintain a sense of like, okay, I can handle this, as opposed to, oh my God, everything feels out of control. I don't know what's going, you know, I have no hope. I've been able to turn that around. And so I think what you just said, there's going to be times when we have to get, you know, go. It's go time, action time. And the other times, self-care in part can be something what I'm offering. Maybe it's not going to be what I'm offering. Maybe it's going and taking a walk in the woods. Maybe it's going to, you know, see a psychologist or whatever it is for you, the self-care for you. But that's what I think we need to find that balance, because if it's constant, if it's 24/7 looking at the news, looking, you know, online and doom scrolling, it's going to be much harder to feel hopeful about what we can accomplish. So I just had to throw that in there. But I just want to say thank you, Nick. First of all, thank you for what you're doing, for caring about democracy so much that you created this whole, you know, this whole, it's not a corporation. Is it a corporation?
It's a nonprofit.
Nonprofit, yeah. That's right. Okay, so this whole corporation, this whole action-oriented website where people can actually do something to save democracy. And thank you for being on the show and talking to me about it once again. So before I let you go, please tell everybody, you know, all the places to find you.
Again. So I am, you can find me at Nick Knudsen US is my handle on all the social platforms. I'm on primarily on TikTok, if it's still around, Twitter, and Blue Sky. I'm also on Instagram, and you can, again, you can find our information about joining up with Demcast at demcast.com/team.
Very cool. Well, thank you again, and I'm sure we'll talk a little later in the year.
It's always a pleasure.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.